if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Steven Robinson is already in the regular chat. How are you doing, people? We are multi-streaming on X and YouTube, trying to get some of those Elon bucks, see how it goes. Is Elon capable of monetizing video the way YouTube does? I don't know. Typically, the alternatives are failing at monetizing, but we'll see. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Laura Loomer is at the bottom of the barrel. She's been decredibilizing herself across the years so much, it's hard to even measure the points that she's reaching now. She's publishing things that knowingly are false. So here, a false discussion between Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens, claiming that... Doubting Thomas, I don't think I'm muted. I think you should be receiving my sound. You may have a mute on your own side, but I don't think I should be muted. Laura Loomer says, big if true. She knows it's not true. She's just staring shit. A few days before Charlie was killed, he sent me these messages saying Candace is a bitch. It's false. She knows it's false. She says, big if true, this is how they do. They just raise false smoke alarms to create shit around a personality. Laura Loomer is on a contract. She needs to just talk negatively about Candace for whatever reason. And I said, it's fascinating how Laura Loomer exposed herself to be a shameless, deceptive snake repeatedly over the years. You would think there'd be a bottom to this barrel, but there might just not be one. This kind of insane woman, very easy to recruit for powerful people to do their bidding, and she never hesitates to do a bidding when she has a target that she needs to attack. Let's check in on the health of Laura Loomer. Someone was sending me a clip saying, JF, she's wheezing. Let's have a look at, just the face. The surgery right here, holy shit. Like, how does this thing call itself beauty surgery? This is not beautiful. Your cheeks look like inflated balloons under your eyes. Like, this is the kind of face you get when you fought in a bar. The next day, you look like this. You're all inflated on your orbital bones. I mean, she has inflated her fucking orbital bones like a monster.
Candace Owens is a liar, okay? And she's a deeply insecure woman.
Look at the volume here, the freaking volume. It goes to the side. It's like this could be an extraterrestrial disguise in a horror movie.
Who is very unloved at the end of the day. This is a woman who is allegedly in a relationship with a gay man who is...
Look at the volume. Boom. It's like I can see the plastic addition that they've done here. It has structure to it. It's not just inflation. It's like structured exoskeleton type addition.
Always going to feel the rejection of her family, the rejection of her mother, the rejection of her family that she claims.
It's not even symmetric, by the way. She doesn't have it as strong on this side that she has on this side. On this side, there's some artist who decided we're going to do the widest curve we've ever done on an eyebrow.
Left her alone when she was 14 years old, right? To fend for herself. This is a girl who's...
I mean, this is like the building of a bridge by Chinese engineers.
Parents gave up on her at a very young age, and she is not loved. And as I said, God hates you, Candace. God hates you. Your husband hates you. Humanity hates you. Everybody who loved Charlie Kirk hates you. Your children are 100% going to hate you. And if what Milo is saying about your husband allegedly getting...
Okay, so Laura Loomer just being crazy and saying crazy stuff, lying on her ex account. Doubting Thomas says a discussion between JF and either Dugin or Putin would be fascinating. You know, I interviewed Alexander Dugin back in my days of the public space. Alexander Dugin came to the public space. It was a great interview, but I don't feel I fully connect with him. I've been challenging him in that interview, not in a hostile way. I think he's really a great thinker for the world. But still, his book is specifying a political revolution that would happen, which he called kind of the fourth political system, the fourth political whatever. And I remember that I was shocked by the lack of definition of this political revolution. It seemed that he was saying that something else must exist than the current, the current dichotomy between capitalism and communism. But this move was very unspecified, and I pushed him a little bit on this. I have come to disagree on certain things with Alexander Dugin across the years, always respectfully, because I think he's great. I think he has the proper diagnosis of the West, but his conclusion, his hatred of whiteness as a result, is adherence to a kind of multicultural view of Russia. All of this is missing the point. It's missing the point about what exactly is the disease of the West and what will be surviving that disease. Because to me, that's all that matters. That's why I'm writing White People Food in many ways. I believe that we have to start caring about what will be left. What will be left of Western civilization, and how can we make life in this restricted survival bubble pleasant for white people? That is all I care about, because in my mind, I've already abandoned 90% of the territory of Western civilization. Yes, our civilization will be extremely small. And there's lots of guilt, there's lots of reasons, and money is one. Hostile foreign power is another. Abortion is another. Medical interventionism is another. The state is another. And the self-betrayal of an elite class of white people who have betrayed their own people for self-enrichment, all of this contributes to the failure of the West. The propaganda, the anti-natalism, of course. And our women have betrayed us first and foremost. This is happening. But it is not as, yeah, the fourth political theory, that was his term. It is not as Alexander Dugin frames it, therefore we must destroy the entire West. And in fact, he seems to be suggesting today on his ex, a kind of general hatred against whites, saying, well, whites have ruined the world, they have done this, they have done that, they have self-denied, and therefore, you know, let's get rid of them. That is actually, it may surprise people, because people keep calling me a racist, but here Alexander Dugin is sinning by collectivism. And he fails to understand exactly what is happening to Western civilization, and he just paints too broad of a stroke. Definitely, there are betrayers that have sold Western civilization among whites, but that doesn't matter really. It's not a full judgment over the whole race, and there will be places for white people to survive no matter what. And no matter what, white people will always have the intelligence to move away from hostile areas. And yes, there will be lots of people left behind, but they don't matter. They don't matter. They will They will go with the flow. They will get harassed. They will have their children attacked in schools for their race. And they'll be just enduring it and possibly dying from it at times. That is what will happen. But still, the question is, in 100 years from now, in 200 years from now, there will be places that have survived. And these places will be formed by white people who were prudent and who are deserving of a life and deserving of a culture, and they will continue a form of Western civilization. It will not be all powerful. It will be extremely limited. But for ourselves, it will be everything. For ourselves, it will be everything. The rest won't matter. See, I'm already in an occupied nation. I'm already in a nation that is controlled by elites, that has been ruined by women, that has been completely drained and sifted to the ground until nothing was left. So it won't matter that this civilization is falling. What will matter is what we can build that is separate and that is thriving in a white civilization way, type of thriving. And by that, I mean that we live by the standards and etiquette of white behavior and European behavior and European food and European traditions and mores of living. Now, whatever that space might be, a village, it still will be this. Alexander Dugin is kind of in a turmoil of abandonment of the white race, as we will see, and of not even identifying himself as, hey, you know, you have interest yourself, Alexander Dugin, that are incompatible with a multicultural view of Russia, that are fundamentally separate from Asian and Muslim existence in Russia. That doesn't mean kick them out or separate necessarily, but it means that your vision of a multicultural Russia that hates white is also self-hatred. The very self-hatred, Alexander Dugin, that you criticize for whites, that you say this is the reason why whites fail. The King is joining us on the X regular chat. He says, hi, JF. Hello, The King. Thanks for being with us on the two platforms that we're multi-streaming at the same time. Before we jump into the comments of Alexander Dugin, Martin Elric had some good thinking around AI. Very important, the massive shift that AI is causing in creation and life. He says, AI is going to kill social media as the default product discovery layer. And Tribe V2 vindicates everything I've been saying about the imminent death of the influencer class. The future of AI is AI systems understanding what people actually want before they search for it. One of the worst parts of indie creation is being forced to build a community before you can build the thing itself. Often you're not even selling to your ideal customer. You're selling to colleagues in the same space, performing expertise for people who are also performing expertise back at you. So you farm emails, farm follows, post constantly, become your own marketing department, and pretend this is entrepreneurship instead of platform dependence. Social media is the last great middleman, and it will deserve to die, and it deserves to die. Indies should build useful things and have them surface directly to people who want or need them. Excellent thinking here. Excellent thinking by Martin. It's all true. It's all true, and it's why I've been always extremely white-pilled at the idea the revolutionary phenotype is unavoidable in terms of gathering, expanding readership and people eventually accepting the theory. This is unavoidable precisely for some of the reason that Martin has highlighted here. Because it's true. Becoming an influencer or a political commentator like me, it's a 12-hour day job, and most people don't acknowledge this. They think you're just a lazy guy not working and just kind of a half welfare situation. But it's not true. It is a serious job to be keeping a public presence that is consistent, that has interest to it, that is informative, entertaining. All of this is extremely hard. And it puts you with an audience that, yes, at times has some clashes with you. Many times across my career, I've been stuck with audiences that were always trying to push me to be more fascistic, for example. And it's like, no, I'm a libertarian. I've been from the start. I believe in liberty. I believe strongly that we should defend our liberty. And I'm not a fascist. But yeah, you do end up with the compromises and the trade-offs because it's like, oh, I want to grow my crowd. But then growing my crowd necessarily involves expanding the reach. And eventually you reach people who they expect something from you that's different than what you truly are. And that is heartbreaking. And it's kind of an inefficiency of the social media influencer type of structure. And yes, AI will give us a shortcut there. I can explain my theory to Grok and I can lay out all of the public pieces on my X account. I don't even care when I do a full review of TRP on my X account. It's not so much because I know that the tweet will go viral. It won't. But I leave the trace and it's there to be found by agents like AI. And eventually they can explain it to people. That is how I proceed because AI in its current dismissal, in its current authoritative dismissal, when you go to a ChatGPT and he tells you, well, JF is controversial, so, you know, be careful with the theory. That is unsustainable. And I believe that Grok will win. It may not be Grok itself that wins, but the methodology of Grok in terms of saying, no, I'm not going to allow myself some social dismissal based on hit pieces. I'm going to look into the theory. This will win everywhere eventually. I'm already seeing signs when I use ChatGPT that there are some of the ways of Grok that have been imported in ChatGPT. Already, ChatGPT has been loosening up to the point where it's usable for me to write white people food. And in fact, I think that Sam Altman just talked about me today on X. I don't have a proof for this, but Sam Altman said today on X, he said, I'm always surprised by what people succeed at doing with Codex 5.5. It does things that you would think it cannot do, but it does it very well. I believe that Sam Altman is referring to my late use of the last week. The last week I have spent time using Codex to help document the French cheeses and American cheeses and Quebecois cheeses across the world. And it's been doing an awesome job. Now, Codex is supposed to be about programming, but I'm now using Codex to say, generate recipes, give me some ideas on what recipes could be talked about in the book, generate some data here and maps on cheese distribution, dumpling distribution in the European world. And ChatGPT is just like, pom, pom, pom. And it's Codex. It's supposed to be code. But I'm using it for something else, and it does wonderful. All of this to say, I believe that Sam Altman somehow has been told, hey, there's a guy that's writing a book about French cheeses, and he's using Codex. He's using Codex to document French cheeses. Because that's what I've been doing for the last few days. Maybe it's just random. Maybe Sam Altman used Codex for something else totally, and he discovered the same thing as me, which is that Codex is not just for code. You can ask Codex, generate an MD file with the recipe and give me some inspiration. He's going to write a plan. He's going to tell you what's missing in your book, that kind of stuff. John Drake says, I have a hunch that TRP will get noticed by the masses in 27-28. It's only going to become more relevant in the future. Absolutely. This is a treasure of human culture. And I'm not even saying this out of bias or, you know, self-adoration or whatever. I am honored to have been the first human being to have had this idea just fall into his mind. It's a pretty wild idea, and it's true. And it's inevitable that people of the future, biologists of the future, will know that this is correct. The first theory to explain the genetic layers, the first theory to reconcile the view of the selfish gene with considerations of mimetics, and ultimately the first theory of biology that has predicted molecular events of the kind I've predicted, like protein templated DNA, which has been proven, as I've made the case in the show yesterday. Doubting Thomas says, it seems that there may be an intermixing of training of Grok, GPT, etc., likely because the programmers who are contracted to work on the fine-tuning jumps between companies. Absolutely, it's happening. I can see it. The same things are being developed. You know, Grok kind of took some advance in image generation at some point. Now ChatGPT is out-competing Grok on image generation. It's an every month run race. And yes, it's all the same employees ultimately betraying the company, getting hired by the other. So it's all like a mush of advances. Let's have a look at Alexander Dugin talking to the West. Today he's crashing out totally on the West. Let's have a look. You are not the people. You are stupid slaves on the Epstein's menu of cruel cannibal elites. You are eaten. Your brains are. It is why you watch Euphoria, because all of you are perverts. Disgusting civilization. No reason to exist. Please die. You gotta love this this kind of Russian stoicism in the critique. Yes, he's right on the diagnosis. He's not right on the conclusion. We should not die because of this, and we will not die because of this. Yes, our civilization has been betrayed and infiltrated by elites. Yes, the kind of Epstein blackmail type of life, or kind of loose blackmail, I would say, just social building of networks and controlling politics. Yes, it happened to America, and it led America into a very, very bad direction for itself. An anti-natalist, anti-life, and pro-violence direction, and pro-imperialistic. Imperialistic, of course, always for Israel. There is no such thing as American interest being actually defended in the recent wars of the last 50 years. There is no such thing. It is purely an Israel defense. So he's right about the diagnosis. He's not right about therefore die. Let's read more about what he's saying. The West is totally in fall, collapsed. Still, it pretends to be a hegemon. Ridiculous. It is a vanishing entity. It should be destroyed. There is no one reason for this trash to exist. correct on the diagnosis again. Yes, the U.S. is acting like a late hegemon, and it's not working. I believe that the Iran war is just a demonstration. And there were signs before, like the falling strength of the U.S. empire. You can look at the exit of Afghanistan. In a way, it's still the same. The exit of Afghanistan was ultimately a failure against cheap American colonialism in the Middle East. It was a demonstration that the people of these places are resilient enough. They're resilient enough to take bombardments, to take harassment, to take special forces operation, and even to take control of a whole society for 10, 20 years, like we've done in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, Iraq, etc. And ultimately, these societies are resilient enough, Muslim enough, anti-American enough to sustain. You can't buy out. biological existence. And in a way, the failure of the American Empire to understand this is what leads to its demise. Because the Iran war is a big defeat for Trump. But in a way, it's still very small compared to what will and can happen. Trump is getting out of it and staying out of trouble in a relatively costless way. And by relatively costless, I mean it's only costing hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars. It's not costing trillions of dollars. That's what I mean by costless. It is a massive cost, but still can be handled. Stephen Robinson says, breaking news on X, since JF has been on air, Trump tweets, America will no longer export ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Escort ships. So America is giving... Well, this is exactly what I was saying. So Trump is losing the Iran war effectively. And so if what you're saying is correct, if it's reliable news, I would say that is simply exactly what I was saying. Trump is losing the Iran war and trying to get out with honor, trying to get out in a costless way. But what we have here is the demonstration that American hegemony onto the world is over. Really, what America can do is just dump bombs from a distance on very, very poor nations. It cannot even handle Iran. Iran is not a super advanced society, by the way. It's not like... it's still a poor, overcompacted fucking desert. And it's not a super innovative military force, but it is an old civilization that can work on the ground, that can be smart about infiltration, action, control, genuine ground control. So they're not as technologically advanced as advanced nations like the US, but they can be extremely hard to fight against for this reason. Lodestar says, Iran war is just another globalist trick, like COVID. Absolutely. So Alexander Dugin is right. The West is falling, and American supremacy is absolutely demonstrated to be outdated. It's not true anymore. And what's going to happen in a future war, unfortunately, is that America will keep overestimating its force. It will take an adversary that it cannot handle. And this has happened actually already, you know, Vietnam War, that kind of stuff, Bay of Pigs, etc. So it's not without precedent, but I'm afraid that it will be the nail in the coffin of America, the next big, big, costly Pyrrhic war will be extremely destructive for America. Although I've already lost hope in America, I believe it will be really a nail in the coffin moment. Alexander Dugin continues. You pretend Russia is falling. No, that is you who is falling. Russia stands. Russia persists. Russia continues to be Christian, to be sacred, to be normal, to be human. All the rest have gone mad. We cling to the reason, to the order, to the rules, to the empire, church, and people. Excellent comparison, again, by Alexander Dugin. Yes, when you look at Russia on a map, you know, you can buy into all of the warmongering narrative and the Russia hatred narrative you want. It's all propaganda and it's all very flimsy. But look at Russia on a map. This is a massive fucking nation with massive resources that has not been penetrated by enemies, that is left alone, that is owning its own territory. In fact, in the Ukraine case, it even claimed a little piece of more territory. Russia is strong. It's not a perfect nation. It has massive problems from the perspective of a white standard of a country. It's a massively criminal and corrupt country, like almost incomparable. The divorce rate is also immense. So it shouldn't be presented as a perfect nation. However, Alexander Dugin is right. This is still better than America. This is still better than a nation that has no border, that is leaving your children to be harassed in school by fully non-white classes. They will be beaten in the court. They will be intimidated until they have to leave as adults from the places they've been rejected from. They will be rejected at school. They will be rejected on the employment market. They will face the problem that with a white name, with a European name, you cannot get a job anymore. Because ultimately, you will be faced with ethnic solidarity networks that don't care about your idea of universalism. They care about hiring themselves, and they will always be more sympathetic to themselves. And you won't even be able to have your children get a job at Tim Hortons serving donuts. That's what's awaiting people. And yes, Russia is better in that way. Russia doesn't have this concern. Russia will still be Russian in 100 years from now. I can't tell you that America is barely white and Christian anymore at this day, let alone in 100 years from now. So Alexander Dugin is putting his finger on absolutely the right diagnosis. Russia should deal with its problems. It has massive improvements to be made. But still, they have maintained themselves in a way that has been a complete failure for Western civilization. But my point to Alexander Dugin would be, it's a complete failure until it's not. There will be reconcentration and there will be regains. There are some white people who will just refuse to die. They will just refuse to let it go away. And they will keep living, they will keep forming communities that might involve moving north and north and north. But there are still Native Americans that live in their community and that exist today. And there can still be whites down the line. And these whites will not only be selected among a bunch that has rejected modern subversion of our nations, but that will know about it, that will have the instinct to get away from it. And so let's not dismiss the entire white race because a bunch of traitors have been selling us out. Definitely, these are probably the worst people. The whites who have said, I'm going to take the political money to sell out my policy making to foreign interests. Those are the worst of the worst. But they will be filtered away because their ultimate xenophilia, their extreme xenophilia that leads them to be able to accept money in exchange of a betrayal of their people for self-enrichment, that will lead them down the wrong places. And they will get selected out from just being too loving of the anti-natalist, anti-white attitude. Eventually, their children will pay the price of their wrong choices. Lodestar says, China is buying up all of Russia's natural resources. China is going to eat part of Russia. I mean, even if they did, I think it's been a good relationship between neighbors up to now, between Russia and China. I don't see this happening necessarily. But even if they did, like, right now I would pay to be invaded by China. Like, please invade us. I want these Chinese female warriors coming like ninjas in lines. And I'm like, okay, I'm giving up. You won the war. I want to be dominated by Chinese invasion. I would much rather this than what we have right now. So absolutely, Xi Jinping, please come and save us, because you can expect some degree of fairness from a Chinese invasion. I don't think you can expect fairness from the various ethnic bubbles that we're currently creating in Canada and the US. Absolutely. A Chinese woman should just be sent. I will just not fight. I will literally just submit to the Chinese woman. Whatever you want, ladies, whatever you want. Grief says, good evening, JF and chat. Good evening to you. Thanks for being here. Finally, and this is probably the worst thing that Alexander has said on Twitter today. Whites, they are destroyed the world and themselves. To be white means to be nihilist. It is self-hatred race. It caused so many trouble to others and to itself. It lost the right to be something. No arguments to support their existence. And this is always where I disconnect from Alexander Dugin. It's that his proper analysis of the West always converts into white hatred of a very woke and leftist and multicultural kind. And that is very sad because it fails at doing the distinction. And yes, you know, collectivism and guilt is sometimes wrong. And here it is awfully wrong. White people of America, Canada, and Europe are good people. And they got, they are so good people that they were subject to levels of subversion and conquest that they couldn't even see it because we're too naive in a way. And because we were such interesting nations with such powerful technology, we have attracted the worst of humanity. And in a way, Russia stayed under the radar. Russia has not been succumbing to subversion of the kind that has affected the West, but mainly because it's less interesting. In other words, there was too much wealth, too much interest, too much greatness to live around white people that we have created an interest for ourselves that has led to our demise. We have to take that into account and not judge the entirety of the white people, because white people can form communities that are absolutely respectable, that are self-loving, that are protective, and that are great places to live. Every day it's my worries that where I live or where people have found ways to live eventually will be discovered by the communists and the haters, and eventually they will come and live here. But then we can move away. But my point is, there are people who do not deserve to be judged for the elite takeover that has happened to us, because there was nothing we could do about it. This is power. This is fight. And some people deserve what's happening. Some don't. David, last name, sends a super chat. Thank you very much for the support, David. All right. So, in conclusion, there is a future for the white race, and Alexander Dugin should not despair. And he should also understand that his hatred of whiteness is not so far from a self-hatred either. Because you too, Alexander, are in a multicultural nation. And eventually, the kind of hatred that you push that is collective in nature against whites will turn against you, because you're the next on the list. Being a Slav, you're not very far from being white in the sense that I even mean it. You are European, and you are white for the same reason that a French person or a German person is white. You have lived in northern areas, and Moscow exists as part of the European group. I see it when I study food. I see it when I write white people food. There is a continuum. There's trade happening, and there are trends of cheese, of dumpling styles, of recipes that absolutely circulate between Western Europe and Russia. I see it historically. Welcome to WASP. He has joined as a member. Thank you very much. If you would like to support the show, you can use the super chat button under YouTube, or you can use the Streamlabs link at jfgtonight/tip. It's the first link in the description. But just like WASP, you can also join as a regular donor to our YouTube membership. It will give you a green name on the regular chat. Lodestar says, Russians were brainwashed not to be ethnocentric. I know a lot of Russians. Exactly. So what we have here, what is being served to us by Alexander Dugin, is not very far from wokeness, from just anti-white wokeness-based hatred. And we have to be careful about this. This is a improper conclusion of Alexander Dugin. And yes, there will be a naive, self-respecting, and proper European community that will survive in various places of the earth, some places of Northern Europe, some places of Canada, the US, I'm not even sure, but maybe some places. Doubting Thomas sends $20. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, the 10th president, born in 1790, his grandson was actually alive until 2025 and has children. This seems like a different way of winning the evolutionary strategy. Strong signal against the noise of society. Yeah, so you're saying that that being part of the elite that controls your civilization, maybe it's a way of baby making? I think it is for some. I think it's a risky game, actually. I think the game of poverty is actually the ideal, the ideal thing to aim for. Because there are so much trap for the middle class and the higher classes. I keep seeing it. I keep seeing it in my life. Just women who had massive amounts of money. They had houses given to them by their father or great-grandfather or whatever. Zero babies. It's like, yeah, you're playing a massively risky game when you're playing the game of resource acquisition. Because the human genome is not adapted to this. It's not adapted to this lavish luxury. It's like there's always this video that comes back, which is a very important video. It's a cute Ukrainian woman who's just showing her ass and dancing in a high-class hotel setting, like parties and whatever. And it's like, and she definitely seems very upper class and, you know, like top model type of level of maintenance. And whenever you look at this video, you realize what's happening to Ukraine. It's like it's an elite that is draining money, and this trickles down to just random blonde woman, stupid woman who's gonna just shake her ass while partying, and they become millionaires. What meanwhile, poor men are being sent to the front to die to clean out the nation. That is what's happening in Ukraine, and when you play that game. Because I'm looking at this beautiful top model Ukrainian, and I'm like, is she going to have a baby? Is she going to have a baby? Or is she going to be just sniffing coke for the rest of her life, just expecting everything from the world, just being dropped millions of dollars onto her head, just selling her body and sex to acquire power and fool men and escalate the social world? But I can't tell you that she's going to have a baby. I can't tell you that she's not ultimately the great death of the Ukrainian war. Although she will be alive. I have no doubt she will be alive. But I can't tell you that she's going to have a baby in the next 20 years. That is worrying when I think about it. Because here you have, well, you know, if beauty serves anything, it should be to get a male and make a family. But even if you were to make a family, they would be educated in an extremely entitled system. There is massive negative measures associated with richness, with wealth, very high depression, very high suicide. So you're making all of the bad decisions And on top of it, it's like your son or daughter will know that you're just this hoe who cashed in a war that killed thousands and tens of thousands of Ukrainian males. That's what I think when I see this cute top model saying, "Woo! Oh yeah, it's party!" Every time I see the clip, I'm like, maybe it's just better to be poor. You know, if you have to sell your soul to that extent, if you have to be willing to sacrifice human life of your own people to get there, maybe it's just better being poor. Grief One sends a super chat. He says, "JF, I have rats in my garden. I have an air rifle, but as a geneticist and cool guy, do you have a more clever solution for me? How do you out-rat the rat?" Well, yeah, I wouldn't shoot rats with a rifle because first, it's very inefficient. It requires constant attention. And the fact is you're not going to eliminate the problem. There's always more rats that will come. So people are pointing to, yes, biological diversion and redirection. That is my... Now, of course, there's rat poison that exists out there. I wouldn't even use rat poison because then it's like, oh, well, it's your garden and now you're putting poison in it. Now, you don't know to which extent this will get ingested by yourself. It's not a good idea, I find. But what you can do is you can redirect the rats. You can build interesting features that keep the rats away from your garden. So this may involve some people will set up sometimes even a whole fountain for them to drink, because very often water is what they are after, even if they eat a vegetable. Let's be clear here, vegetables are not very nutritional. They don't provide much nutrition. Animals use vegetables and fruits partly to acquire water. So you can already divert a part of the interest to your garden by having a setup far from your garden that attracts the rat there and that gives them easier access to what they actually want. This may involve a compost pile. You know, the garden will seem less interesting to the rat if you have a big compost pile with old beef bones and kitchen leftovers. This is going to seem much more interesting to the rat than your fresh vegetables on plants. So that's one process. And then, yes, a natural predation. So you can ally yourself with a cat, ally yourself with some animals of nature that, depending on your local fauna, do you have animals that could make it hard for the cat? Sadie Edward says, buy a python. Well, that's a little extreme of a solution. I wouldn't go Python. And then barriers. You know, there are some barriers that a rat could technically pass, but that he will respect. So if you put just a plexiglass wherever throughout around your garden, the way I had done it with a greenhouse, that might just make the rat shy about coming into your garden. Sometimes it's not necessarily that the obstacle is impossible to cross for the rat, but it's giving the rat a second thought. And all of these contributing together can just reduce the interest of rats to your place. Grief says, I've got the only pond on the entire street. Well, see, if you got a pond, then you have to think, well, the pond definitely probably is attracting rats to your place. So you're probably getting more of the problem because of this pond. So then it's about physical obstacles between the pond and the garden so that the rats feel that they have kind of this place that is segregated from your garden. Of course, there's also rat traps, you know, but to what extent do you really want to fight against rats? I don't know. Are they truly disrupting your gardening? Personally, there were rats in PEI, but they were never really ruining anything. So I've never really cared about it.
I don't get to catch you live very much these days due to family and work life. Congrats on TRP confirmed empirically.
Yes, that is so great. Thank you so much, Naberius. $150. I'll be able to pay my next month of ChatGPT use because I'm paying at the high level and it's about $150. Extremely appreciated, Naberius. And yes, the TRP confirmation of the prediction, that is one of the big moments of my life. I'm very happy about it. I'm so happy that I could see it while I was alive. And it doesn't matter whether it gets recognized right now. It's on the record. My book will always be purchasable, even if I die. People in the future will be able to say, wow, this guy knew it. And it's not even the last prediction that will get confirmed. Like, imagine when we have 3, 4, 5. It's like, oh, JF was right. JF was right. JF was right. Now we have a very, very strong one. JF was right. That's a good place to start. Grief sends $5. Thank you so much. Extremely appreciated. I'm working these days to finish White People Food. And that requires a lot of effort, a lot of work. And I'm happy that you guys are still supporting me. That allows me to really focus and get this book out. Now it's like a baby coming out of my vagina. It really feels like the ring of pain is burning all around my vagina. And I have to produce this baby. I have to get the head out. That is what I'm doing right now. We have chatters on X. Doric says, best streamer on X, hands down. Well, thank you so much. I hope that my popularity on X will rise. I hope that maybe the future of streaming is partly on X. And certainly I appreciate the freedom of speech of X. It gives us a safety where YouTube, we can never tell when they're going to go after us. So X will give us a safety buffer. And perhaps one day I will only be on X. Nudge Unit says Dugan is on the anti-white bandwagon because he smells blood in the water. He knows we're weak. Well, but it's also a misunderstanding of society to be understanding everything that America has ever done as being the doing of whites. It was the doing of an elite white bunch that have been subverted by non-white interests. Photoman says, do you think that the elites will allow things to get bad enough for men to step up and retake society, or will we just live in total female hell forever? For those who refuse to move, and for those who stay in places of civilization that are lost, you will live in hell forever. That's been my point from the Falange days where I did this stream explaining this whole thing. If you stay behind, you will pay the price of living within anti-white communism. And I've been warning people, there's no getting out of it. There's no political solution without reconcentration first. So yes, it will be hell forever for those people who keep being so xenophilic that they want to stay in the novel societies that hate us. You will live through the hate and it won't stop. It will go down to your children and they will get beaten. So, yeah, you do what you have to do, but I'm not seeing. Yes, John Drake, October will be big for Alberta. Yes, we have the separation referendum that has been announced to have crossed the signature threshold. I had already covered this, I think. I think the signature threshold was passed a month ago almost. But now they're saying it officially. So it looks like if Danielle Smith can hold to her promise, there would be a referendum in October. That seems very close. That's in 5 months from now. That seems tight in schedule, but there would be a referendum on the separation of Alberta from Canada. You can be sure that I will be a yes vote. I want to get the fuck away from this sick nation that Canada is, this sick bureaucracy, this anti-male social worker lordship kingdom. I'm out of it. I am done living in this shit. And I've already taken the means for myself to protect myself from it by moving to Alberta. But I also want to set it in stone that there will never be a return to this communist, sick nation, anti-male nation that Canada is. Wasp says, I don't know if I just got older, but I can't sleep with women based on looks alone. I have been burned by just going after looks alone. Not worth selling a soul. I mean, it's not necessarily getting older, but there are these times in life where you oscillate on this. I understand it. I've lived it myself, where you're like negotiating within yourself and saying, will I accept a less beautiful woman because maybe she's going to be less crazy? And my finding is that women are crazy, even when they're ugly.